What a beautiful thing it is to gather on this feast of Corpus Christi to bring an end to this year of celebration of the 50th anniversary of this church. And why do we celebrate this church? Not because just it's such a beautiful place to gather, not just because of the memories we might have here from praying for 50 years. But let me quote the Archbishop of Paris after the fire at Notre Dame Cathedral this past year. He said it this way: "Why was this beauty built? What jewel was this case meant to contain? Not the crown of thorns, a relic saved from the fire, but a piece of bread that we believe is the body of Christ." The reason, my brothers and sisters, that we build churches, the reason we gather in these churches, is because of what happens on this altar. It's because we believe that this is the greatest gift Jesus gave to the world. It's the gift of his body and blood. And it's the gift of his life that unites us to him and contains the entire spiritual wealth of the church, because it contains Jesus Christ himself. What we believe about the Eucharist, and we celebrate in this great solemnity and we proclaim to the world, is a simple and profound truth. But when we understand this simple and profound truth, it changes us. It's really two things. First, we believe that when a priest stands at this altar and prays the words of Jesus, that Jesus' own death on the cross becomes present. The night before Jesus died, he said, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for you." And those words are intimately united to what Jesus did the very next day, which was gave up his body and poured out his blood. Those words, we believe, are so intimately united that when we pray them here at this altar, we participate, as St. Paul said in the second reading. We participate in Jesus' body and blood. Or as St. Paul said, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." That is, you make this death present until the Lord comes. That is this saving act, the most important moment in the whole history of the world. When Jesus offered his life in the one true act of worship to our Father in heaven, that action is repeated here. It becomes present here. And through our participation in this Eucharist, we get to participate with Jesus in that one true act of worship, learning to offer our very selves with him to the Father for our salvation and the salvation of the world. That's the first thing. The second thing, equally profound, is that when the priest says over the bread, "This is my body," and over the wine, "This is my blood," the bread and wine are profoundly transformed, and they become the body and the blood of Jesus. They continue to look like bread and wine, but there's no more bread and wine there. A miracle happens. And although they appear to be bread and wine in every way, they are now the body and blood of Jesus. St. Thomas Aquinas said it so succinctly in his great hymn about the Eucharist. He said, "Truth himself speaks truly, or there's nothing true." And if Jesus says, "This is my body, this is my blood," then this bread is no longer bread. and this wine is no longer wine. They are the body and blood of Jesus, because truth himself speaks truly, or there's nothing true. This has always been the faith of our church since the earliest days. This is why we have always reverenced the Eucharistic presence of Jesus from the earliest days. It's why in that same fire at Notre Dame Cathedral, the priest risked his life to save the Blessed Sacrament, not only the crown of thorns. It's why we do that simple genuflection every time we come into church. The sign that God dwells here. I hope you realize that when we meditate on these mysteries, as the church invites us to do on this solemnity, we begin to realize that what we do at this altar is the most important thing we could ever do in this life. It's not an overstatement. Of all the things we could possibly do in this life, when we come here to this altar, we participate in the one action that saved all humanity, Jesus' death on the cross, and we receive the very life of God poured out for us. And what happens when we do this, as the church asks us to do, is that gradually these actions transform us. If we meditate on this gift and we seek to receive this gift worthily and we seek to participate when we come here to worship, gradually our own lives become a Eucharistic life. We begin to treasure the presence of Jesus and the opportunity to be with Jesus and the experience of Jesus in our hearts as he comes to us in Holy Communion. And we learn from Jesus how to make our own life a gift. St. Augustine, when he was commentating on the Eucharist, he once said, you know, it's kind of common courtesy that if you go to someone's house for dinner, you shouldn't stretch out your hand and take anything of the meal unless you're prepared to offer the same meal yourself. It's common courtesy. And he said the same thing about the Eucharist. For what is the meal that Jesus offers us? His life poured out for us. And he said we shouldn't come forward to receive Jesus' own life poured out for us unless we're striving to pour out our life for him, to prepare the same meal ourselves in our hearts by learning to make a gift of our lives. Here you see the importance of this church, this wonderful building, where thousands of times faithful have gathered here to receive life and strength. Thousands of times they've heard priests say those words, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for you." And they've learned gradually to desire to give their own lives. In fact, I would argue that here at this altar, you're called to learn to imitate your patron, St. John the Baptist. In the Cathedral of St. Paul, there's a beautiful statue of St. John the Baptist. Like almost every statue of St. John the Baptist, he's usually pointing, as he is in this one right in front of me. And of course, we know what he's saying when he points, what he said the first time he pointed. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Just as I will say that at this altar in a few moments. The beautiful thing about the statue in the Cathedral of St. Paul, which is on the altar of St. John the Baptist, dedicated to the French-Canadian people in the Shrine of the Nations behind the cathedral, in the back of the cathedral. The beautiful thing about that particular statue, since St. John the Baptist is above the altar, when he actually points down. And he points to the place on the altar where the priest consecrates the Eucharist. And he says to all of us, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He invites all of us to put our faith in that presence of Jesus here for us, for love of us. And my brothers and sisters, this is what we're called to do. We know, in fact, that our world is so much in need of Jesus. And we're called to be like John the Baptist, pointing other people to the Eucharist and letting them know, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Let's pray that as our patron allowed his whole life to point to Jesus, that we too, learning from this altar to make a gift of our lives, might be able to say to our world, behold the Lamb of God. Here, in fact, is Jesus, the greatest treasure on earth.